Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Two Substitutes. It's been 84 years again since we did our last episode, but we are back. I am Varun and I am joined by Akshay once again. Akshay, welcome back.
Hi Varun. Yeah, it's been 84 years and probably 12 more days.
My teeth are falling, literally. I had an extraction done. But yeah, this is a good opportunity to do this new episode because we just finished Champions League final. We just watched it. The season is done, so we can review all of it now.
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
We just start with the Champions League since it's fresh in our minds.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it. So, historic, big season. Think, is this the first thing in our memory? Of a team winning treble, because we didn't really have memory of United treble, right?
Yeah, it was in 99, so yeah. At that time, like, we weren't following football.
Or following, but not
too closely,
not,
I guess.
In general. I was mostly following, like, international football.
Right, yeah, you would watch World Cup games and you would know roughly, like, what's
too
happening. But club football was... A different beast, or like it was something that was unknown,
foreign to us. too young for that. But historic season in Premier League, because another team has matched Manchester United now for the treble, and coincidentally, it's the same team. It's another team from Manchester, so Manchester Town has a big.
Two trebles in Manchester now.
Although there are rivalries there, so I don't know how happy. Each of them for the other one.
For sure, yeah. Man United fans, they won't be sleeping well tonight.
They won't, yeah. So let's talk about the UCL final then before we talk about the legacy that City are creating now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the final wasn't really entertaining as most finals are in these big tournaments.
Right. I think it was... more of a midfield battle in the first half, and there were not many chances on both ends.
Yeah,
Haaland had one chance in first half, and but in second half, I think Inter had some moments as well where they could have scored, but there weren't like many moments, and Man City deserved to win the game.
Yeah, they deserved to win. I think after they scored their first goal, also they just. Inter didn't look like scoring. Looked like they had given up.
Although towards the end, Ederson had to pull off two good saves.
Two good saves. Right at the death. Also, there was one save from him. There were some mistakes from both teams. Also, so throughout the game, it wasn't like Inter didn't have chances, but they just didn't have the quality to finish them.
Yeah.
I guess
Lukaku was at the center of every chance that Inter had when he came on.
Yeah, and before he came on, Lautaro had a few good chances as well.
He couldn't capitalize on that mistake from Kanji, and he tried to lob the keeper, and Ederson was good to just come out of his line and prevent all the angles. And he didn't have anywhere to go.
I think last three finals now, the commentators were saying, have all finished in 1-0 now. Last three UCL finals.
Yeah, fairly predictable scoreline for a final. And it's great for Man City. I think Pep Guardiola, he wanted to win the Champions League with Man City. And
No matter if he said otherwise in public, or you knew like this was the one thing that Man City itself needed, Guardiola needed after having spent so much time at Man City for so many years.
And also the way they were failing in the tournament, like they would always mostly come until semifinals or once in a final, and they weren't able to go past this final hurdle, and now they did it eventually.
Yeah.
And this is like incredible achievement to think of when you think about how their season started. Like they weren't at their races in the beginning, and it looked like they were just... too tired, or there is something lacking. I think Gundogan also mentioned that, like, they lack something. Like the fighting spirit, or some, not energy, but just like motivation.
Some motivation, we'll talk about the season, because there was this press conference from Pep Guardiola where he talked about the fans as well not having energy or passion. So we'll talk about that. But yeah, Champions League, big achievement for Pep Guardiola, monkey off their backs. Who was your man of the match in the final?
I think Rodri didn't have a good first half, but he scored, and that was the most important goal. But I would say probably Stones, because of the areas of the pitch he covered, like, you know, playing almost like a right back, center,
and
midfielder,
key passes also.
And more like a right back, and had a very good game. It was very difficult to take the ball off him, and also he gives them that option because he's so flexible and playing like different roles depending on where City has the ball or where they don't have the ball, and just more like having an extra player in any area of the pitch. So yeah, I would probably give it to him.
I think I'll agree with you. Yeah, apart from, I mean, both of them in the center of the field were good, but Stones, like you said, covered more ground. Rodri scored the winning goal, but Stones, he was just playing key passes also. So, yeah. Excellent team, and it just makes me jealous of Man City because they have Pep Guardiola as a coach who can just change things in the, because he didn't have Stones playing in that position at the start of the season.
Right.
He only did that towards the end.
Yeah, he has shown that in his time at Man City, where he can come up with these like crazy solutions, and also he can improve players. Like, we have seen players like Fabian Delph, now John Stones, like Walker. Like, he has changed players, like the way they play, and like even Jack Grealish, for example, right? Like, his game now is very different than what he was playing, and I think he wasn't too young when he signed for Man City. Same with Riyad Mahrez, like, you know, he is able to influence any player for any position, it seems like.
He even improved Aguero. Like, he was already good, but after Pep came in, he became even better.
Yeah, and so players like Sterling, now he's at Chelsea,
he's
but
struggling.
When when he went to Man City, like, you know, at Liverpool, he was a good player, but he didn't have that end product. And at City, like, he was scoring like 10-15 goals and 10-plus assists as well. He was one of the most threatening player in the Premier League at that time, and there are like lots of examples, like in center, like in center back positions or in like midfield positions. And he's also reinventing the game, where now he has different philosophy, where every person at the back has to win their duels and has to compete for the ball. He doesn't like the traditional fullback, right? You know, at one point he was playing that like fullback bombing down the wing and just cutting it back in the box, and that's how they used to score their goals.
Right.
But now they don't do that anymore. It's like
they have different styles of play there, and they can change as the game demands. I think, I guess we can include the season as well now, since we are talking. It's hard to not it's hard to not talk about the season.
Yeah, because it's the achievement that they've done, and it's a treble, and includes all of the competitions and how they made changes from the way they started, and realizing, like, you know, he sold Cancelo as well. They didn't even have a left back. And
Not like many managers can do that, because Cancelo was one of the best fullbacks in the world, I think, at that point. But he had problems with other players, and Guardiola just straight up kicked him out.
And yeah, like, he started this like inverted fullback thing, and now it's like the fullback himself is already in the midfield now with John Stones. It's like he starts in midfield now. It's like he's always evolving. I think other teams are now catching up with this concept of inverted fullbacks, but he's already ahead of other teams.
He seems like one step ahead. Yeah,
right.
If other teams do the same thing now, he'll probably end up doing something else that will counter this. But I remember he was before Stones did that, he was also trying out Rico Lewis in that position. He was also playing well. But he started more as a right back now, and then came in. But right now, Stones is just starting in the midfield area rather than in wide positions. And Ake is another player who has improved under him in this season, especially. I think he could be one of their best players throughout the season.
Yeah.
Nathan Ake. But yeah, talking of the season, Arsenal, your team. They were leading for most of the
93% of the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's
think
like 238 days.
238. They are something. In the top two or three teams to have led the most percent of the seasons.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, this one, this season's is record of spending like 93% of the season at the top, and
they broke their own record basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, they Arsenal were very good at the start. Throughout the middle part of the season and after World Cup also, but then like we were talking about earlier, I think it was around that press conference that most things changed. I think for City, and when they were charged with the 100 charges or something.
Yeah, I think we were in it until like 28 games or 30 games. So last 8 games,
yeah.
Really.
So I was saying like you were in it, and also City were not performing to their level like they did last season, I think. Yeah, but that press conference was weird to me. I mean, even if the charges are legit or not, we'll find out, I guess, later, or we'll not. But that did something different to Pep Guardiola, I think. You could see in his press conference.
Yeah, he was questioned a lot about
what
is happening behind the scenes. And
he
was pretty adamant that they are right. I mean, obviously, he has to defend the club. And until that point, yeah, it didn't look like they were in their best form. But usually, like, when something like this happens, like, maybe it's been brewing for previous games as well, but people didn't notice it as much. And usually, towards the end of the season, City has this capacity to just go on that winning run where, like, you know,
10
games or
also.
15 games without losing in all competitions or something, and
they have that experience also, which Arsenal doesn't.
Yeah,
which is where they missed out, I guess.
Yeah, and for us, unfortunately, like, you know, we were very reliant on our centre back partnership with Saliba and Gabriel, and Saliba was injured, and we, I think, Arteta tried with holding, which didn't work because he doesn't suit our style of play. He's a good centre back, but he's not a modern centre-back who can play from the back and keep the ball in situations where opposition is pressing you. So,
and also in important times, I think there were some mistakes done by... Like, Zinchenko is a good player also, but he made some crucial errors also towards the final few games.
Right. And for us, it's like a combination of a lot of things, right? Like, team also started showing nerves, like Bukayo Saka missed a penalty against West Ham. And in that game, like that game also, I feel like
that game changed. But Southampton game also was
the momentum. Southampton 3-3 draw, right? 3-3 draw, and that missed penalty against West Ham is where it started, I think, where we were at 2-2 and Saka had a penalty, he missed it. And that's when probably like people realized maybe like it's not happening. And then we played against Liverpool where we we drew against them as which is like that's a good result too, right? Like but then like the game against Southampton then just hurt players even more, and obviously we don't have experience of playing in those situations, so like players' nerves and lack of experience and injuries together, like, it's not a good thing. And then when you're competing against Man City where you have to win every game, like we drew like 3 games consecutively, and that gave Man City that hope of going past us. And we played against them too, and they beat us badly, and that also like hurt the morale of players, and
because it was in your hand, I think
had we won that game or even drew that game, we would be winning.
And I remember last season I think you gave much tougher fight to City than you did this season,
right,
in both the games.
Yeah,
because it was like they didn't even give you a chance in those two
games. I mean they were thoroughly outplayed and outclassed us, and that's when probably maybe players realized as well that we can't go against them until the end, and that's how it ended. I mean, it's unfortunate and pretty disappointing to see us like not go until the very end in the title race. But you know, at the start of the season, we would have definitely accepted where we finished. Like, we finished on 84 points, and we were able to separate us from the top four competition in itself. I think we secured our top four with 4 games to go or 3 games to go. And that's a great progress. But if you look back where we were and you think about these injuries, had they not happened, what would have happened and whatnot? If we had Saliba, that would have been a different story. But it's like, it's tough. And we, even with that, I think we were playing okay. Like, we were getting results, but just like...
I think it's just City are just too good at the moment. It's really hard to, like, even that Liverpool team under Klopp, where they lost by 1 point.
Yeah.
That's like, ridiculous, hey?
Right. And for us too, like, we are not able to rotate our players, which Man City can do pretty easily. Like, Saka had to play every game. Martinelli was injured towards the end. And yeah, there are like a lot of reasons where you can look back, but we should give credit to Man City where they just have that capacity that they won't lose. And it's on the onus is on the competitive team to be competitive and give them a fight. And it's not like, because we know that they're going to win it.
Yeah, we were talking before the podcast, like, how Brighton showed, like, you can play against them.
Right.
And actually, Brentford are the only team who did the double over them. That season, so that's even more weird. But all credit, I think, is because of Pep Guardiola, they are doing so well, in my opinion. I think no other coach, if it was, say, if Pep didn't exist in this world, fantasy world, then it would be a much closer fight.
Yeah, I think Liverpool fans will be the ones who would be most happy with that.
Yeah, but yeah, I think every other club is sick of Pep Guardiola right now, because with this treble, it looks like they'll be even more motivated.
I mean, this now seems like a beginning, which is like crazy to think about, because he's been there for 5-6 years now. And
they won five titles in 6 years.
And
Premier League titles.
Now it's like first treble, and you could see them like going again next season as well. And it's very tough to imagine like who can compete with them, because they beat Bayern,
Real Madrid,
in this like Real Madrid, and whoever came up against them, they were able to comfortably beat them, not even just like, you know, beat them. So it's scary. And in this transfer window, I think they'll probably lose a couple of their midfielders, but with Gundogan and probably Bernardo Silva. And they already have Phil Foden and this like Palmer. He also looks good. And
I'm sure they'll sign more people.
And they'll also sign people. And their scouting has been pretty good too. Like Jack Grealish now is, he's had his best season. And some could argue that he could be their player of the season as well, if you exclude Haaland, because he's like just exceptional case.
Yeah, you were talking about scouting. Let's talk about Haaland then. First season in Premier League, already is in the history books with the treble. Record goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, he broke all-time Premier League scoring record in his first season. That's so like out of the world to imagine, right? Like that record has been there for years. And
Alan Shearer's record, right? And that was in a 42 game season,
right? Yeah. And he beat that, and towards the end he didn't even start as many games,
and
like Pep benched him when title was secured. And like you can just like fear what he's going to do next season, because he's just
or
so strong.
He's
and
a one season wonder, like people said about Kane.
Yeah, I mean, I think class cannot be challenged, and what he has shown so far in his career, not just in the Premier League, in Bundesliga as well. Like,
he's one of those players who has this internal desire to just keep improving. Also, I think, you know, some player like Ronaldo has that.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo, I mean.
Right. So, he's always focused, right? Like, he also mentioned in one of his interviews, it's like he doesn't care about records, or he doesn't care about how many goals he has scored, and he just wants to win. And that's the attitude that people and players should have, where he's not getting arrogant about it, or he doesn't have that ego that he's like the top scorer and he's made history and whatnot. All he wants is to just win, and that's what makes him happy. And the thing about him is that he gives different options for playing for Man City, like you know, Ederson can kick it long, and
like City needed options to play, you know, but he has just added another dimension to their
so they can go like they can go long with him.
He
can run in behind. And he can also others in place. Yeah. So with laying off, and with De Bruyne, he has struck a very good partnership where they just like know each other pretty well, and I think De Bruyne has most assists in the season as expected, and most of his assists were to Haaland. And when he scores, like, he is usually a streaky player as well. Like, right. he scores, like, doubles, hat-tricks. I think he scored two consecutive hat-tricks and stuff like yeah. that. It's just, like, it's out of the world where, like,
in you Premier League also where people say it's hard to, like, score, but he's scoring. Like, he's matching numbers that used to see Messi and Ronaldo in La Liga.
Do. Yeah.
Although they have 90 or 70 goals a season, but still... Like,
58 right.
goals, I think he has, which is ridiculous overall.
Right.
Would you say he's a shout for the Ballon d'Or now?
I think he has to be considered.
Yeah, him and Messi, I think, are.
Him and Messi will be of, the front runners, he, I think. So.
Yeah, because of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, this is ridiculous season. Also, talking of Pep, I just remembered another thing I heard, that Pep is only the second manager after Ancelotti who has managed in 4 Champions League finals.
I see.
With different clubs also. Mm-hmm. He did with City and Barcelona, I think. And then Ancelotti has also done it with AC Milan, obviously, and Real Madrid.
Did he go to final with Bayern? Probably not.
Yeah, I think not. I didn't. He didn't win any, I know. But
yeah.
I don't think he went to a final.
I see. But yeah. But yeah, it's for Pep to individually, it's insane. It's his second treble, and
yeah.
you know, like, for a manager, like, just winning one treble in their career, it's like, you know, like, people, that's like, that's legend level yeah. stuff, and he has done it twice. So, and he's not finished yet. Like,
yeah, he's still yeah, he looks hungry.
Yeah.
Maybe he's one of those characters, you know, like he might just retire. No.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe like he could eye for quadruple next season, and
oh yeah, that will be
that will be on his mind now.
We don't want that.
Yeah.
I honestly and like I can't I saying, see anyone compete except maybe Klopp can take a title or two away from him, but it's hard to.
Yeah, and that has to be like a very impeccable season for yeah. anyone to do that. And like Klopp had one, like we could have had it this season, but our demise just shows like how good you have to be right? Yeah. Like you have to always be exceeding almost your perfect. Expectations. Yeah. And for them, it's normal, right? Like you yeah. have to do 90 points a season to beat exactly. them. And it's for right. any other team, it's not super easy to go 90 yeah. points in the Premier League.
You could just see how consistent they are in Premier League and just can you translate that to Champions League also, I think, because even in Champions League, they have been consistent in terms of reaching the finals.
Yeah.
Now they are winning it also.
Right.
They'll dominate Europe as well.
Right, and you know, like achievements to eye for will always be there, right? Like, you know, 3 yeah. consecutive titles, like he could do like 2 trebles, 2 back-to-back trebles,
no
quadruple. Like, there's
4,
no like
4 Premier League titles in a row. So yeah. he'll be up for that next season.
Yeah.
Great.
and now it's in the Premier League, it's more like, you know, who can give them a fight. It's not about
fight,
like
yeah.
yeah winning, it's more like
participation,
you know,
trophy.
If we can if we can compete against them, then you'll know that you'll have had a good season.
Yeah, prediction will be boring now, right? Everyone will have City number one.
Yeah,
unless they just shoot themselves in the foot, I guess.
I mean, even last season, I think everyone would have predicted Man City to win the title.
Yeah, yeah.
But Liverpool was still there and thereabouts. I think
yeah.
a few people might have gone with Liverpool because
yeah,
they were in like all the finals.
Actually.
So, yeah.
Because this season also, yeah, we can talk about that. This season overall was also weird because of World Cup.
Right.
Everything felt so weird. Like,
yeah, it felt like two parts, and
yeah.
also like season went that way. Like
yeah.
teams were. Like our teams or players were like super good before the World Cup when they came back. Either they got injured or they.
For some teams, some clubs didn't exist, and then they existed, but also were really bad.
Yeah.
Talking about Chelsea. but yeah, World Cup was another big tournament, so it was also not like a break for the Nations League or something. It's like a big tournament that everyone watches. So
right.
it was the World Cup.
Yeah.
We could also talk about that. It's very weird to say that during the Premier League season or league season, there's a big tournament that happened. But yeah, Premier League-wise, kudos to City, I guess. Don't feel happy saying it, but they finished with another league title. United fan, like you were talking about, United fans can't complain because they had it in their hands to not make City.
Yeah, to deny them this treble, historic treble.
Which everyone expected. I don't think any of us, maybe except United fans, thought that United can win against City.
Yeah, that FA Cup final, I think United showed them like why they are like the best team in Manchester, where like United had no chance pretty much, and that goal in like 15 seconds.
Yeah, that was Gundogan just. That goal was hard to stop. Strike at least.
And that's the one where you can see this like what options Haaland gives them, because it was like a hopeful long ball from Ederson, which Haaland nodded on, and they like Man United defender just let that bounce, and Gundogan took first time shot, and that was amazing shot.
What a season.
And that changed the course of the game as well, because after that
Man
City didn't actually go for it as hard, and they were in control of possession. The United were just second best on that day. Even physically, they like Man City matched them, and Sancho, Eriksen didn't have good games.
Eriksen, I think maybe they'll have to replace him. Also, he's a good player, but he looks, because of his condition. Also, I guess he gets tired easily after 20-30 minutes.
Right,
which is hard to, which you can't have really in a professional Premier League team.
Nobody can hide now with the way the game is in the league or in any other tournament, and especially against City, they can exploit that pretty well, and they just have that intensity where when opposition has the ball, they try to get it back as soon as they can, and once they have it, they can also keep it for long.
It's becoming a farmers league, guys.
But yeah, FA Cup, United could have prevented them from doing that, but City were just too good.
They should thank Southampton, otherwise they could have won.
Yeah, otherwise
not treble, quadruple.
Quadruple. Southampton actually beat them in Carling Cup. Otherwise, they would have won that as well.
We can talk about like the season in terms of season review. We can. I guess before that, I'll just talk about Chelsea, because we were so bad. It feels weird to talk about us. But overall, we had a bad season. We had 4 managers this season. None of them could do anything for us. I think it didn't. I was not expecting us to decline this much, but I was expecting us to not finish well because of how last year went. It's just unprecedented what happened to us during the preseason window and before that, like with the sanctions. Not everything was in the club's hands. It was the owners. So my only hope for next season is that hopefully the owners who like to spend their money have learned some lessons. Because I feel like they have good intentions at heart, because no one spends this kind of money if you don't want the club to do well. But they just are so inexperienced or egotistical or whatever.
Or
they think like everything works like American sports.
To be on the funnier side, I think we like Arsenal fans say that like whoever we are interested in, Chelsea just goes after them rather than scouting for themselves.
Which is what makes me happy, because you are interested in Declan Rice right now. So maybe we'll get him.
So it's like they're letting other clubs do the scouting and Todd Bowley just goes in. It's like, okay, this club is going for this player. Yes. We can just like flex our muscles and bring them to Chelsea. And
I don't even want to talk about a season, because they scrapped the end of the season award ceremony, which is for the better. The only good thing for us is our women's team is still doing well, which is kudos to Emma Hayes. She is incredible. They won the Women's League title and the FA Cup again. So other than that, the club is in tatters. We need a whole clearance sale right now, and none of our players are sellable at the moment.
This is unprecedented too, right? Like to see a club spending more than 500 million and doing worse than yes. what they would have done otherwise. Like if they spent
and didn't sell anyone. And right. when we were close to selling a player, Hakim Ziyech, we made mistake in some paperwork or some software, yeah. a bug.
I mean, for me at least, like I've not seen Chelsea in that state or in this yes, state where this just like so much banter, right? Like this stuff,
this
like...
beyond opposition fans, maybe were feeling sad for us because it was so bad.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, like...
We were fighting
relegation. I was hoping like, okay, you guys, maybe they should win now. They're just losing every game and...
Yeah.
Yeah, like you get chances and their strikers are not able to finish them. Like it's not that like they were having all the bad games,
also.
But it's like, you know, at one point under Potter, they were creating so many chances, but they Nothing would just not finish sure. it. And they have players like Havertz and Sterling
yes.
and Mudrik and just like missing guilty chances. And you just, you know, like pray to God that, okay, maybe somebody can finish it and it can't be that
it
bad.
It didn't happen, but it was that bad.
But then like when you hear these news about how they were struggling to keep all of the players under dressing room and
yeah, some were
giving
sitting
them
on the
proper
floor.
Training and attention and whatnot,
but
then it's...
Yeah, this is very unprecedented. I think no other club in Europe,
yeah.
I can easily say, has that this kind of a problem. But I don't know why... We had so many players signed and then we didn't even sell anyone. And yeah. now it appears... I am actually, whenever we do predictions for next season, I don't expect us to do well again. I think we'll be mm-hmm. in top 10.
Yeah, it's going to take time to get back to what you guys were before. Because
yes.
Even the deals that they've made...
they are very
you know,
young.
Like we were talking about it, right? It can go either super well or it can go... down the drain, and that's what it
yeah,
seemed
and
like
they are
it,
all
that's
really
how it
young
went.
Players, and basically, all of our team has been completely removed and like renovated, basically. So
right.
we have only two or three players remaining from our Champions League winning squad
mm-hmm.
now, and they are also about to leave. Mount is leaving, Kovacic probably leaving, Kai Havertz. Hopefully, he leaves.
Yeah.
We'll have problems selling players before we can sign anyone. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, let's talk about the season. Let's get away from this depression and talk of our rankings for the season. So like best team,
mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Yeah, best player, best manager. Let's do best manager, best player. Yeah, we'll think of that as we get along. So let's see who's the best player easily.
I mean, you have to do it this way, like, except Haaland, who is the best player in the league.
Wow,
because,
except Haaland, let's make life easier yeah. for us. We'll have problems in other categories, I think.
Yeah, I mean, best player has to be Erling Haaland in the league. No question about that.
Yeah.
And
let's see, best manager. So I know the FA gave Pep Guardiola the title, but we should do things different. I think it feels like a cheat code to give him, even though.
Yeah, I mean that's normality for them, right?
Team as well.
Yeah,
I would give it to Eddie Howe. I think
that's a very good shout because nobody expected them to be in the top four.
Yeah, especially after fighting relegation last season.
Yeah, and he is able to take them to Europe without.
Spending
as
lot.
Much like they spend on Isak
and Bruno Guimaraes. That's all.
That
was
it. And he also, you can see like in good coaches, like they can improve players, and you can
yeah.
see that in Newcastle where you know, players like Fabian Scher and Dan Burn, you know
Joe Linton from
yeah.
a striker.
He also like covers Almiron on the left wing sometimes.
Yeah.
Almiron was probably the best player in the Premier League
for first half
of the season.
Yeah. So yeah, my vote would be him. I know for you it would be Arteta or maybe Eddie Howe, but
I didn't pick
Arteta specifically because he was good, but
yeah, we bottled it in the end, so that's
and also Howe has had more of an improvement, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm saying like even if we didn't expect Arteta to challenge for the title, we at least expected him to be in top four or top six, I think. But Newcastle
mm-hmm.
expectations were much, much lower than that. And he surpassed that. So at least for me, it will be mm-hmm. Eddie Howe. Well, who will it be for you?
For me, I think De Zerbi also did pretty well, like
mm-hmm.
you said, right? And he was able to compete against Man City and not many teams can do it right now.
Yeah.
And you know, the way... Brighton are playing, like, you know, if they have good players or slightly better players, they would have finished even higher than they did. And they also lost their manager, and he didn't have a preseason with those players, and he was still able to you know, get them to play according to his philosophy and bring in those changes. So I would consider him.
Gary O'Neill did a good job with Bournemouth.
Yeah, Bournemouth. Nobody expecting. Everyone nobody was expecting them to
get relegated.
Right, and I think at one point they were playing like good football, and they're also winning. Like towards the end, they lost a few matches, but at that time they had already secured their survival. So he was definitely a surprise
winner of these.
I think Erik ten Hag can also get a mention because I won't give it to him just because
I don't think Erik ten Hag will
I mean, he didn't do like that great. I feel like Man United fans hype him up a lot, but you know, for his caliber and for Firmino, he had like some tough defeats against Liverpool and against Man City. I mean, that was like hammering as well.
Away from 7-0.
And they won a trophy, but you know, they had a very easy run. Like, you know, they beat like non-league teams and stuff, and they did beat Newcastle in the final. But
they
still
won the
like,
Carabao Cup. That's good for them. But I still think he finished where people expected United to finish, I think.
Yeah, and he did spend two, right? Like, it's not that like he had a good squad to work with in the beginning, and then he spent on top of it. Although they like Frankie De Jong saga was was like entertaining to say the least.
Down now. I don't know what's happening with De Jong. Yeah. But yeah, wait, you have not. But anyway,
so for me,
who will you vote for?
Am I missing somebody like Eddie Howe, De Zerbi,
Pep Guardiola,
Arteta,
Gary O'Neill,
who else?
Unai Emery.
Unai Emery too. I think we should definitely mention him. Yes. I think he did have a good, like, I would rank him higher than Erik ten Hag because, you know, Aston Villa, there's one point
De Zerbi
like...
And Unai Emery both will be higher than ten Hag.
Exactly,
And yeah, like you said, with Gerrard, they were struggling near relegation. They immediately improved them to...
And he got them to Conference League next season. And again, the same style, right? Like, you know, you have a manager saying like, that's it. Like, this squad can not perform any better than they've done. Yeah. And like, he comes in and immediate impact and not having any preseason. And surprisingly, like, they played entertaining football to Aston Villa. Ollie Watkins was in supreme form at one point. And with Emery, I think he always gets best out of his striker. That's what I've realized. Like, under him, I think Aubameyang, Lacazette, both were flourishing. They would score goals every game. And, like, striker...
Everyone was like... having good evenings.
So I'm happy for Emery to,
of
to
course
have
you
that.
Are. You have nostalgia towards him also.
Yeah.
Ex-manager. It's I think he was treated a little harshly at Arsenal also because he was not doing...
Yeah, I think for him, there was like key games where he lost, like that Europa League final, I think, where
but he left Arsenal and immediately won Europa League Sevilla, right, again.
Right. And we were like, you know, fans expect us to play possession football, which he is not the type of manager. He's more like, you know, so some would say like he's good for... underdog teams where they're not supposed to have too much of the ball, but when they get it, they can quickly counter and score goals. And I think that's why I feel like he's a very good fit for Aston Villa, where you know, they can be underdogs, but he has the quality to, when they have possession, he can quickly get them into attacking positions and get goals. So I would give it to Arteta, I guess, because I can't give it to Pep. And with Arteta, I think, again, like, if we spread our games, like, the last 8 games, like, if we spread those losses or draws in between the season, like, everyone would say, like, amazing season, but just that final stretch where he was not able to do it, and the same thing happened last season as well.
Because the thing is, those matches count.
Right, and like, I know, like, mentality is different, and conditions that you're playing under are different, so you can't really
and who you are playing
spread
against.
Them spread them out, but overall
I forgot, you're right, last season also this same thing happened when they were fighting for top, because they had it pretty much secured.
And now I'm thinking, like, you know, every season, like, under Arteta, there has been some disappointment, right? Like, first season, we didn't even finish in European spot. Like, we finished 8th. Then we finished 5th consecutively. And once we lost in Europa League, once we bottled top 4. And
you lost to Sporting?
Yeah.
Sporting, yeah.
Yeah, we lost in Europa League too. We gave up on every competition that we were in this time to focus on Premier League, and we lost that. So every season there had been some disappointment, but disappointment bar has raised, right? Like, we were talking about, like, missing out on top 4. Now we're talking about missing out on title. Previously we were talking about missing out on Europe altogether. You know, he's like, we are progressing every season under him, and I can see that in our playing style too.
So what will be the disappointment bar next season then?
I was thinking, like, quadruple, like, missing out on quadruple.
Winning the Champions League, missing out on that.
Yeah.
Missing out on quadruple?
Yeah, quadruple.
you need some milk.
Bold prediction, but considering how things are going, maybe missing out on double is consistent. Yeah, missing out on one
quadruple
thing.
Quadruple, maybe it's...
Yeah, too much. Yeah, I think, like, get one trophy, but miss out on the other one. Yeah. So, yeah, missing out on a double, maybe. So, and...
I think for you, your goal should be going at least in to the knockouts round in the Champions League.
Yeah, and not get embarrassed by Bayern or Barca.
Yeah, exactly. And then to the final few rounds in the cups.
Yeah.
Or win the cup, actually.
Yeah, and also, like, yeah, be in the top 4 comfortably, like, where this season.
It will all depend on the transfer window also.
Progression. And also the players we were eyeing, like I told you as well, right, like... Scouting has been exceptionally well under Arteta and this new regime that we have under Edu and Arteta. Like, we are signing players that fit our system, that have the right mentality and have the right age profile as well. Like, before we would sign like players at the end of their career just for their, like, final payday, they wouldn't have motivation and stuff. And like, Trossard had like 12 assists this season for Arsenal, and that's like, he's our most assist maker, or just maybe behind Odegaard.
Odegaard maybe.
For assist. But he's pretty close.
But and yeah, for you, good thing was that goals were spread throughout the attacking line.
Yeah, and everybody like scored more than 10 goals. Martinelli, Odegaard.
All were scoring.
Gabriel Jesus too had good season when he was fit. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, like, he improved on number of goals that we scored. Like, we scored 88 goals. It's like most number of goals in our history, and that's incredible to think about. And we have, I think, most number of points since Invincibles. Like, only Invincibles had more points than this team. So, you know, that's like, in context, like, it's historical season for us. And also, if you talk about, like, not having Pep or any other times, like, this would be a title winning season, or this would be like,
you know, actually no. Because when Spurs lost that title, they had more points than you guys.
Which title? To Leicester?
Yeah.
No, Leicester had less points than us.
No. Leicester had less points than you?
Yeah. We have 84 points this season.
How much points did they have?
I don't know. Maybe they were in 70s. That's what I think. But we can confirm.
Yeah, because...
But yeah, I think the number of points that we got, it's a lot,
yeah,
right?
Like, there's that you improved a lot on the points from before.
Yeah. So, and when we have our preferred playing 11, like, we can match any team. I mean, like, we lost to Man City.
Except City.
But we didn't have, like, Saliba or, like, you know, that match never happened. So, that's, like, hard to speculate, like, because when we played them early, like, we didn't have Jesus. But that's, like, you know, going too much into nitty-gritty.
City were just too good.
I mean, they're too good, but I would like to see us, like, going...
I think you still have a little bit more to do. Depends on the transfer window to be close to City. I think, personally, even if you had Saliba, it would have been hard for you to beat City. Wait, what? So, we did best player, best manager. What other categories can we invent? Worst team? It has to be Southampton.
Worst teams. Forest survived too, right? Like, Forest didn't have their bearing towards
Steve Cooper also should maybe get an honorary mention. Because they showed how you can change the team, full team and still be good. Mm-hmm. Unlike us, we changed the full team and we were worse. But yes, Southampton, I guess, should be an easy choice for the worst team. They were relegated to like three games to go or two games to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, or actually, Leicester could be there because they are now the
Leicester
team.
Actually have much better squad than teams that got relegated.
No,
I will
say Leicester,
much better.
Yes. And also, they are now the second team to get relegated after winning Premier League, after Blackburn Rovers, which is ridiculous. I felt a little sad for them because they were like the underdogs, but I think the investment was not there for them since last season. So what would be your vote for? Who would you vote for?
Leicester had 81 points to confirm that season.
So they had
going back to
Leicester, right?
I would agree with Leicester, worst team, just because of the squad and players they have, and see them going down is
on a separate note, but related to Leicester, today I read that Tielemans is now signed for Aston Villa. Emery is having
free transfer.
Good evening. What other categories can we invent?
Signings, underperformers.
Underperformers, Leicester. Oh, you mean in terms of players?
Yeah, I mean expectations versus like hype versus hype. Like
hype,
you know, like
Chelsea.
Mudrik, for example.
Oh, individual. I would not blame Mudrik.
Chelsea
would
be the underachievers underperformers because, like, you know.
You can blame Chelsea, but I won't blame Mudrik.
Nobody in their
right
mind. Like, people, at least, like, randomly, they could hope for Leicester City to go down.
Before you go to thrash Chelsea, it's fine. But Mudrik, I don't feel like.
It's the flop of the season.
Because.
There are better flops than him.
No, he is a flop, but I won't talk about him because he didn't have any preseason and his league, I think, finished. His league finishes in a different schedule, and also his family are from Ukraine who have been having problems with the war and stuff. So it's hard to imagine what could have been going on in his brain. And it's just weird to talk about flop when you just signed and you've not had any preseason at all.
Yeah.
Next season, we can talk about him.
Okay.
But yeah, Chelsea overall, I feel they would win the underperformers of the season. Would.
Yeah. Okay.
For you too, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Horrible.
Spending that much and getting worse, actually. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, usually like clubs spend and they at least like improve, and there is some positive thing happening because of that spending. And here at Chelsea, it's more like they created their own problems by spending so much and locking themselves down for these like long tenure deals as well. And
So with those, all the players that have been signed for those deals actually didn't play bad.
Okay.
Apart from Mudrik. Enzo Fernandez was our best player. He had one of the better records in like compared to other players also, not just our club. So we should give them time. But this season just went to shit, basically, right from the preseason.
You can erase it from your memory.
No, it's
shift
hard.
Delete.
I wish I could. I remember the weekends. Every weekend was a misery. But in preseason, I still remember we had players just going on Disneyland rides and stuff, not being cohesive. Arsenal beat us 4-0 in preseason. And people just ignored it like nothing happened. We didn't take our best players to preseason. Instead, we kept players who didn't even play the full season. We had Malang Sarr doing preseason for us, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Everything.
Do you think, like, even if you had Thomas Tuchel, you would have been in the similar position? Or
no, we would not have been maybe in top four, but we would. He is just that good of a manager. Because the season we won Champions League, our squad wasn't really that good, but he got the best out of some of the players.
Yeah.
So I think we would have finished sixth or seventh, but we would not have been this bad.
Yeah. to see Chelsea in second half of the table, it's that's your lowest finish ever.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
since
yeah, that shows
like 90 the worst season since 93 or ever, maybe at least in my memory.
Yes,
it's not award. We moved away from this, man. Why did you bring me this?
Anyways, like underachievers, underperformers.
Yes, what other categories do we have left? Anything we can
there is any goal of the season that
best
you remember?
Transfers,
yes, we can talk about that.
Haaland was this season, right?
He just takes all the categories. Like, we need to somehow exclude.
we should talk about Brighton in this case also, because their scouting system has been ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And Ciso was this season, right?
I think so. Or maybe he was on loan somewhere. They brought him back. I don't know. They also have this like loan system where they bring in players, but they loan them out and then they bring them back when they are ready. So
yeah,
not sure where he was.
Yeah, Enciso was 2022. So this season,
I see.
17 June. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and immediately he had the best goal of the season awarded.
Oh, the one against Chelsea?
City. But against Chelsea better, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I like both of them goals. And
both were similar long range stars.
Yeah, he can be...
He's 19
new
years
finding,
old,
yeah,
man.
And his ball control, dribbling... is pretty good and shot to like, you know, two powerful finishes outside of the box, and you don't see many 19-year-old scoring against like big teams too, right?
Like, it's not, we were talking about City scouting network. I think Brighton's has the best one in Premier
League.
Yeah,
even Ferguson looks good, like Ivan Ferguson. He's like
Ferguson
18 or 19 something.
They replaced Cucurella, their team of the like their player of the season.
Yeah.
Before. They replaced him with
Estupinian came in and he looked good as well. So sometimes it just shows that like, if you have
Caicedo,
the right system, you can afford to lose anyone. And somebody else can fill in. And they have these like ever consistent players like Pascal Gross,
who has Dunk. Who was with them since championship days.
Yeah.
And still playing well.
And like Solimarch, Dunk.
Solimarch, McAllister, they had
McAllister
now with Liverpool.
Yeah. Webster too comes in and is like
man.
Players that you had given up, right? Okay, like, you know, these guys, but they are getting best out of them as well.
It will be interesting to see them in Europa League. Let's see how he does. Robert De Zerbi.
Yeah,
credit to him also.
Yeah, he's we already talked about him. Like, yeah, he's just good. And Brighton too will be team to watch out next season. Especially against big boys, I think they have capacity to take points off of big teams.
Yeah. I think Pep Guardiola, sometimes he could be sarcastic, but I think in this case he was legitimately saying this. I think he said they are the best team playing.
Yeah, he said that he's a world-class coach or something. And
oh, yeah, they are the best team who play out from the back.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I mean, with Guardiola, it's tough because he praises everyone when it works.
So good, so good. They're so good.
Yeah, so good.
So good. So that was Premier League. I think we talked everything that we should. Major things, at least.
Yeah.
Before we go, we should also talk about the big event, World Cup, that happened somewhere in the middle of this season.
Yeah, it seems
even if
to
it
have happened so many times ago now. It doesn't seem like it was this season.
And before we talk about it, we can ignore the controversial stuff that happened. I think we did have a podcast.
Yeah, I think
about
we did.
The World Cup,
right? Before, yeah.
But I'm only talking about it now because I think Messi will be a contender to Ballon d'Or contender for Ballon d'Or with Haaland. I think those two are top two at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for Messi, it's like, you know, reaching the pinnacle of his career, and that's something that he really wanted to win, and to see him lift that trophy was amazing. And also the final was entertaining. Usually World Cup finals are not as entertaining as
this
one.
Was and really entertaining.
It was like lots of goals, penalties.
It was Mbappe and Messi show.
Mbappe and Messi, like two players. So that's like, you know, if you have to script a final, that's how you would script, and that's how good it was. So
some people were saying this was Messi's plan all along, because he went to PSG to get a feel for the Qatar ownership and Qataris. And then he won the World Cup, and now he's off. That's another big news that just came out. He's now playing for Inter Miami, or he will be playing for Inter Miami.
Oh, we did a World Cup review podcast.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, good.
he'll be. And that's how long I told you it's been 84 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll be playing for Inter Miami with David Beckham, who's just learning English.
As per Fox News.
Yes. But yeah, will you be seeing him? Will you be going to Florida to see him?
Not to Florida, but if they play against DC United, maybe.
Yeah, maybe we can go there. Yeah, when he plays. Because you have seen him play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not seen him play. So this could be an opportunity.
Would be nice, yeah.
Because I doubt he'll be playing the next World Cup.
No, I think this is last hurrah kind of a deal. And also seems to indicate that he wants to enjoy on the beach now.
Yes, enjoy on the beach.
He's done everything. Moolah. He's completed football. And
see, no matter what he says, it's not about the money. It is about the money. Because
I mean, a player of his profile, I don't think like he can go for...
No, ignore all of that. But I'm just saying, when players say it's not about the money...
yeah, I'm not defending him on this, but... If he were to go to Saudi, he would have earned even more than what he's earning at MLS.
I think in terms of money, overall, it could turn out to be more than Saudi Arabian money because he'll get some Apple.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, here it's more like tied to subscription and kit sales and
Apple
whatnot.
Stock and price and stuff.
Yeah.
But really strange deal. But yeah.
Yeah.
Another reason could be that he is close to his home now.
Right, close to home and also like being comfortable with people and language, right? Like in Orlando, it's like a lot of Spanish population, Cuban, and obviously like he can maintain low profile life as well. Like, you know, not obviously like people will recognize him here, but in the US, like people and don't care as much about celebrities and these types of things. Where like if he would be in like Saudi Arabia or anywhere else, like, you know, he's like, he'll be surrounded by a crowd all the time. So,
and after he signed, I was reading the ticket sales price, and both the sales went up by like 4,000% or something.
Yeah, I mean, he can definitely bring people onto in the stadium, and it's good for US soccer too. I think maybe for players like US players to train alongside him, I think that'll be great, and also it brings some attention to MLS, although they are like last in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, you know, why would you choose to play for a club that's languishing at the bottom of the table? But
I think it's
that's what was the indicator to me. It was more like, you know, he just wants the location,
enjoy
not
the
club
beach,
right?
Enjoy
like
the sun.
Yeah,
he enjoy. Could have gotten a lot of sun in Saudi Arabia also though. Yes. It's a hot country.
Yeah.
But talking of Saudi Arabia, quickly we can mention that also, because this is seems like what was happening a few years ago with Chinese league.
Yeah.
Like a lot of good players. But this time it's like current Ballon d'Or winners are going to...
Yeah,
Saudi.
I mean, I think to China, I think Oscar was probably the one who went in his prime career. But he wasn't. Like right now, players who are going to Saudi were like top players, but... right in their like final one or two seasons.
Yeah.
And if they can get more players like that, I mean, there are talks of like Zaha, Gundogan, and...
I think Zaha, has he not already gone?
I see. If he has already gone, then okay.
Photoshop.
Like, you know, there are like players of that caliber too, right? Like who...
he's not gone yet, okay. But yeah, there were talks like you said.
Right. So, you know, if they can create a league where there are like good players in each of the team, it definitely has more football following in Saudi Arabia. Like people show up to games and they watch the games. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can sustain it. It looks like they can just because of the amount of money, because this is even
like
higher than China, right? Like people are earning like 15 million a year, like 20 million. That's like 4 or 5 times.
N'Golo Kante will be earning, if he goes, like 1.2 million a day.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, if you talk about like money, is like 3 or 4 times better than what they're earning now. And these are like top players who are in like top earning cap than like, I don't think there would be many players who were earning more than Benzema, for example, in Europe. And he is getting like 4 times the raise just by going to Saudi Arabia. That's insane. I mean, that's like even bigger than what China was offering. And
you know what? Also, people will talk about the sports washing stuff. But what I've realized now is that every club, even if they are not directly related to Saudi, Like you could see like in the background they have dealings with, because it's hard to not stay connected. So you will see like every one of them, each club will have some connection to
people. Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, entirely the money what's that drives one, the game, right? So and if you have the money, you can have players too, right?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. They would have stopped Newcastle's ownership, but they didn't.
Right. And yeah, everybody wants piece of that cake, and it's a pretty big cake.
Yeah.
It's a cake of the size of the world, so.
Ridiculous, man. And then what was the other news? That Saudi PIF now owns all
of
the
they have
clubs, the big clubs.
This PIF fund that is helping these top four clubs, because they want to create some sort of a competition, like similar to Premier League, where there's like top four
or,
and they can have
you know
top four competition, and maybe like this can bring more attention to Club World Cup, or you know, something like, you know, El Etihad playing against Barcelona or something.
Man City
in the Club World Cup. Yeah, Barcelona. Something like that, right? Like
but,
that can...
Or, you know the what this these ownership will think, like, okay, I'm bored today. Let's make El Etihad win. So, they'll sign all the players for Etihad for that season. Next season, okay, they have won a lot. Let's move to Al Hilal. It's all their playground, basically.
Al Nasser, El Etihad. Al Hilal.
Let's see what UEFA does to counter this. Or will they join hands and then Saudi...
And now I think even FIFA can come in with their, like, this Club World Cup idea, or, like, World Cup World Cup for clubs.
It's already happening, right? It's been proposed.
It's proposed.
Like
so, you know, like, competitions like that can be... Like, if there are clubs like that
so
outside of Europe, then...
The players are not playing enough, so we need more competitions.
Yeah.
So. We already saw this season how there were no injuries at all to the players. So,
but yeah, I think this is a big deal, right? Like, to have this Saudi Pro League, or that Saudi, taking these big players, and it seems like they have some strategy to do something. It's not like, you know, they got Ronaldo first, now Benzema, Kante, and you know, attracting other. And even for Messi, they were trying hard, and they were actually disappointed that he didn't go there. So, you know, they would have created, maybe they had this like El Clasico kind of a deal happening again in Saudi Arabia, and people would have turned up for that. And
yeah, that's true. On a side note, though, Ronaldo didn't make it to the Saudi Pro Team of the Season. So
yeah, and also the team didn't win the title when he went there. They were top of the league.
It's not that easy. It's really competitive, you know. I don't watch it, but
yeah, they finished second.
Well, I can't believe that I'm actually watching this table.
Just the beginning.
But I think that's all. Do you have anything else in mind we can talk about?
No, I guess just looking forward for the next season now. Hopefully we have transfer window coming up, which isn't open, but some clubs are already
Liverpool
confirming their signings. McAllister has been like the one big one that was confirmed.
Yeah.
Benzema, like we talked about.
We need to sell players, man, before we even sign anyone.
Yeah, and there will be a lot of drama around Declan Rice, Caicedo, and some strikers like Harry Kane.
Ugarte has already created drama between PSG and Chelsea.
Yeah. So Jude Bellingham was another
Money. He's the biggest signing so far, right? It's almost done.
Yeah.
100 million euros.
Yeah.
He is one of the few English players who never play in the Premier League.
Right. Yeah. He's still pretty young,
but
at this point,
I mean, Real Madrid is usually the final destination. Even if he comes to Premier League, I feel like it will be if he flops miserably.
He's like 19 or 20 now, right? So he still has...
No, but I'm saying like Real Madrid is usually like the final destination of people.
Like where to go after that.
He might come to Premier League, I mean, towards the end of the season to play at
home. People talk highly
of
his attitude and
age.
The way he behaves
like
on and off the pitch.
I feel like
That's what I've heard. So I've never seen him play or like go in interviews, but it seemed like he... went back to his previous
club. He mouths
club
a lot,
and, like,
I think.
Like,
complains
I
a lot when he things don't go his way. But I think that might be just his age. still 19. So we'll see. But Real Madrid they look like they've seamlessly replaced like Cruz, Modric, the midfield.
Yeah, and they went young too, right? They are secured for
Camavinga and now Bellingham.
Yeah, Tielemans.
Oh, not Tielemans. Sorry, Tchouameni.
Yeah, Tielemans. It was like Tielemans to Madrid.
Tchouameni, Camavinga, and now Bellingham.
Yeah. Like they already have this Valverde guy.
Valverde. And, yeah, so we'll see. But I think that's all.
Yeah, that's all. We can do one more at the beginning of the season.
In 84 years? Oh, 84 days.
84
maybe.
Days probably. Yeah.
No, that
no, less than
be,
that actually.
Yeah, there should be less than that. Yeah, we should do...
Yeah.
Before the season start, we can give our predictions and the transfer window, who had the best transfer window. I'm already giving you my prediction, Chelsea to finish in 10th place.
Chelsea to sign 10 more players?
Yeah, that is possible. But my prediction is 10th place.
I see. What are you looking forward the most, by the way, in this transfer window?
From my team?
Yeah, just in general. I mean, like, who are you closely following?
Chelsea.
Player transfers.
Player transfers. Caicedo and Rice.
Okay.
Because both of them have some involvement for us. And we need midfielder also. So I'll be following that. I don't think... And we... It's hard to say right now because I think... The most I'm interested in, like I said before, is just us selling players. I want us to get rid of at least four players because we have too much.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Spurs at all, which is
I think
surprising given the season that they had.
But also maybe that's the most Spursy thing we can do. Because
you know, sacking Conte.
Yeah, they were
like
interim
manager.
They almost did an Arsenal because they were almost certain for top four at one point. They were playing well, and then everything exploded.
We
should give
one point. They didn't even have manager.
They didn't have a manager. We should give a fair shout out to Harry Kane. He probably, if not for
still
Haaland,
Harry Kane saved him.
Yeah,
saved
if
them.
Not for Haaland, he had the best season in the Premier League, like his best season also. But somehow he.
Yeah, and if you are giving like underperformer award for a player, then I would give it to Heung-min Son.
Because
he was in like Golden Boot conversation last season.
He won the Golden Boot with Salah.
Joint winner.
Yeah, I think he was.
But yeah, like he was at that level and.
Yeah, the drop off was ridiculous. Spurs, I think they were close to us in terms of the underperformance. We just took the trophy. But
You went even worse
later on.
We went
worse. But yeah, they were not too good.
Yeah, definitely. And Richarlison too. Like it looked like they had a good good
okay,
window. That's
yeah,
all. Like all the predictions
failed.
Funniest
moment of the season. We can talk about that. I think I have two.
Yeah.
The one is where Klopp almost did his hamstring
celebrating.
And then the other one was Richarlison celebrating the goal and then immediately
called up.
On the and that was his first goal for Spurs also, right?
Yeah,
and
that was first goal.
And
before that, I think he had scored, celebrated, but then that was called for offside.
And then the funniest part of that is that his tattoo has Ronaldinho and Ronaldo at the back with him in the center.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's a funny guy and. He gave a lot of entertainment this season, definitely. And just how Spurs season went as well. I'll be following to see if Kane stays or leaves. He'll probably leave.
I think this will be his final chance.
Like,
if he doesn't
so.
Leave this season, it will be...
Yeah, and they have a good manager as well from Celtic who has
won
the treble. Yeah, Postecoglou. Just can't wait for the memes with his name. A lot of meme potential in his name.
he did well with the... Was it the manager of Celtic or Rangers? I get confused between
Celtic.
The two. Celtic. Yeah, because Celtic were not winning for a long time. He basically did a Gerrard for them. And then he won the title. And he plays attacking football.
Yeah.
Maybe
people said the same thing about Gerrard. And he was sacked with Aston Villa.
Maybe this is what Spurs need. An unknown name.
Yeah, and he's going to focus on academy now and...
We'll see how much he focuses because
they don't give that much money and
another character called Daniel Levy on top
because like he's now pissed off that he bought so many players and that didn't work out, so he's now like, let's go back to basics, focus on the academy, get a low profile manager, because he tried to do Chelsea with just bringing like ex-Chelsea managers with
never works out
Mourinho, Conte.
You know this.
And now Pochettino going to Chelsea as well.
Oh yeah, this will hurt them. This will hurt just Spurs fan, which I'm happy about. But you know what's funny is that Mourinho had the best chance of winning them the trophy, and he sacked them before the final. Oh yeah, those were some good funny moments.
Yeah, I don't know how we missed them for so long in the podcast. But
yeah. Spurs doing a Spursy.
Yeah, they have defenders like Davinson Sanchez, Eric Dier. The talk of Maguire signing for them.
Oh yeah, Harry Maguire.
Like Dier and Maguire in the same
Eric
team.
I read reports of Ten Hag not being happy at Maguire because he wants him to go so he can afford some other players, and Maguire doesn't want to go.
Yeah, he wants to stay. Which is like, who would want to leave if you're earning so much at United? Yeah. And
Harry Maguire.
But it would be funny if Dier and Maguire play together.
Dier and Maguire. That rhymes also, man. Yeah.
That rhymes, and also both the centre backs are like clumsy on the ball and can't play high line. And
Eric Maguire and Harry Dier. Next season would be interesting.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens next season, but it will be fun for sure.
Yes. Yeah, we should definitely do the podcast around... it starts in August, right? So we can do in end of July or something.
Yeah, okay.
But thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for joining, Akshay. It's been a while, but it was fun.
Thank you, Arun. Yeah,
it was fun talking
about
football.
Yeah, definitely towards the end.
Yes. Towards the end, you mean when we started talking about Spurs?
Yeah.
There's some common thing we can have fun with. But before we go, where can the people follow us?
People can follow us on Do Substitutes if you are still subscribed to us.
Yes.
Like we plan always, we'll plan to do more next time.
Yes.
Hopefully we can...
no promises.
Complete our commitment this time.
Yes.
But yeah, no promises still, but we'll try.
We are consistent with our inconsistency.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But yeah, where can the people follow us?
People can follow us on Facebook,
everywhere.
Instagram, YouTube,
Spotify.
Twitter, Spotify with
iTunes.
Two substitutes, two with the number.
Yes.
And
that's all.
You guys know how it works, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you are tech savvy. So thanks again. Have a good transfer window, I guess.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, bye.